way, if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery and murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchists stand for anarchy, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-authoritarianism, internationalism, autonomy, direct democracy, ecology, self-organization, solidarity, anti-fascism, anti-neoliberalism, anti-nationalism, atheism, equality, and freedom.
Tune in to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Tuesday from 9 till 10 p.m. on 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZFM.org.au.
How about trying this future on for size?
That's actually a blast from the past.
Team Plastique.
Team Plastique and Superstar, dedicated to the superstars listening and
here in the studio.
In the studio, especially Triple Z subscribers out there. Thanks for supporting the station. What have we got to talk about?
Well, you know, can we talk about your shirt for a second?
Yeah, okay, let's talk about my shirt.
Linda's wearing this shirt. What does it say?
The future. Rum Jungle. Oh.
The future belongs to our children, not to radioactive waste. And then it's got a picture of Australia with.
Australia.
Australia. Australia. With lots of different place names, and I'm not sure if they're all real or not.
But you wanted to travel. Mark was sitting here talking about wanting to travel to all these places, and it took me a while before I actually realized he was reading my shirt.
Yeah. Well, I know that, like, Brisbane and Sydney are definitely places, but, like, is Pangaea really a place in Western Australia?
What about Billa-Kalina with a question mark at the end?
Yeah.
So the question mark is a question mark about... Actually, they're not quite sure. Like, they think that there's nuclear waste there. Or some sort of nuclear facility.
Oh.
And also on the shirt is there's a legend. apart from the legend wearing the shirt. There's a legend of what the different symbols mean. Nuclear test sites, nuclear reactor, irradiation plant, uranium mine, waste, tailings, other radioactive waste, uranium shipments, US base, host port for nuclear vessels, and depleted uranium ammunition test site.
So there's Narangbar with a question mark next to it.
Now this shirt is like...
Is there radioactive waste in a rainbow?
This shirt is at least 15 years old.
So, do we have an answer?
There's an irradiation facility at Narangba which uses cobalt-60.
What's that?
It's a byproduct of nuclear reactors. Yeah.
I'm not okay with this.
Well, we know there's some in Brisbane. But who is it?
Radioactive waste.
Is one of us radioactive waste?
How do we stop the radiation?
Well, there's a low level radiation dump at Esk, and Brisbane.
Oh my God.
Brisbane is a host port to radioactive nuclear vessels.
Okay.
Yeah, in the port of Brisbane.
Well, this shirt has a lot of information on it, and I'm gonna have to have a closer look later.
I don't know if they still make it, but it's actually, this is a map that they make. Yeah. And these days...
I had a feeling it was a map.
Yeah, I thought it was like just a freehand drawing of Australia. And,
it's an actual paper map. Like they make a...
Oh.
You can also get a poster.
And you can do a radioactive waste tour of Australia.
Yeah, you could. And you know, I've done a bit. I've been to a few places.
That's dangerous.
So, yeah.
Have you ever been to you?
No, but a few people have been.
What are we doing tonight?
Okay, well, on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Afrin, which is in northern Syria, part of the Kurdish.
Known as Rojava.
Yeah.
Oh.
Afrin is known as Afrin. Rojava is known as Rojava.
Uh huh.
And
I meant northern Syria was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we did the interview a little while ago with Lucatelli.
Yes.
Claudio Locatelli.
Claudio Lucatelli.
Wow, you really remembered that, Max.
Yeah,
well
and
done.
So...
He's hot, what can I say?
He's from Italy, but he has fought in Syria. So I've also got a contact of another Italian who's actually in Afrin, I think, right now. So... I haven't heard back from her, but hopefully maybe by next week we'll have an interview there. So we're going to talk a bit about that in the light of International Women's Day, which we're going to talk a little bit about too, some of the fallouts from that. And we've got Bad Cop No Donut. Plus, we've got a whole heap of new music. I spent some time today looking for all this new music.
Oh, great.
And we've got from The Stimulator, we've got the fucking news episode. And related to that, which is about some fascists in Canada, I think it is. Related to that is some news about a fascist here in Australia who's really pretty stupid, really.
Yes.
So...
A stupid fascist?
Yeah. We're going to hear a song now by Kalo, and it's called Faster, and it's the Smoky Illusion Flip, and they're actually from Spain. So we're going to hear about where they're from after the song.
Olé.
Bye. bastard. Follow the leader, promising me. You have to breathe that. Cut on me, take the dancing serious. You have me, take the dancing serious. Play the bass, follow the leader, promising me. You have to breathe that, breathe that, breathe that. Boom, boom, faster, faster.
Spain, apparently.
Yes, and the record label is, it's called Rhythm and Beats.
Yes,
Carlos,
I've heard of that.
Javier Benavente.
You were telling me that they are gender neutral.
Yeah, they identify as gender neutral.
Hmm.
And they're from Spain, and interestingly they are from Andalusia.
Where's that?
In Spain, which is an autonomous region in Spain.
What does that mean?
That means that they're autonomous from the government. So they're from Malaga, which is a municipality, capital of the province Malaga, mm-hmm. in the autonomous community of Andalusia, Spain, with a population, it's like a fairly large population.
Okay. And we don't have a figure, though?
No, 500,000. Like 500,000 people. Okay.
Andalusia sounds like a fictional fantasy land.
It reminds me of ambrosia.
Yeah.
The food.
Ambrosia salad.
Ambrosia salad. Ambrosia salad is marshmallows.
I make it, yeah.
And sour cream is to die
and
for.
And coconut. Yum.
It's the southernmost city... The southernmost large city in Europe.
Okay.
Yes, that's interesting.
It's interesting that they're autonomous because that would be a place that you would look at as an example of, you know, anarchist lifestyle, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and we have, like, there was the referendum. Oh. There was the Spanish referendum.
Oh. Ding! I got that right.
Yeah, so...
Yay!
Yeah, the Catalonia wanted to break up with Spain.
Oh, yeah, and then they like beat up people going to vote.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It was bad. So, yeah, Spain's an interesting place for anarchists. I just wanted to mention the International Women's Day rally in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually go to the rally because I went to Lismore.
Yeah.
Where they had International Women's Day's events.
Yeah, cool.
And Wendy Joy Ford, who featured in the video that I made with Fairhard Bandesh from Manus Island. She played at this event on Saturday night, so it was very exciting.
Very exciting to see her live.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go, but exciting for you.
Yeah, well, see her. I was excited for you too, but you weren't there.
I wasn't there, yeah.
Yeah, but we relived that.
I did hear about it. Wendy Joy Ford, you know, she's a great country singer, and she was great in the video clip as well.
Yes. Yeah. So, I didn't go to the International Women's Day Festival, but there was some tension between people, the organisers who included some trans-exclusionary radical feminists in the rally, and some people in the trans community. And personally, I would not accept there to be trans-exclusionary radical feminists, TERFs. I would not accept that they should be part of the festival. But a friend of mine, a woman who's been involved in community action for like 20 years in Brisbane and elsewhere as well, was, because she was trying to kind of go a way that was trying to minimize the hostility between people, and then someone decided to label her as trans exclusionary radical feminist, as a TERF, and kind of like really went on a witch hunt. And without actually knowing this person, they said this stuff about them which actually isn't true. And it was really disappointing to see that happen.
Yeah, and she went there intending to kind of, keep things lighthearted and reduce the kind of amount of conflict. How did she come to be thought of like that, though?
Because she was sort of trying to mediate. I think she was trying to mediate between people, which doesn't actually mean that you support people. Like, mediation doesn't mean that you support people. It means that you're trying to help two parties.
And they were saying that if you're moderate, then you're, as bad as the TERFs because you are...
Yeah.
You're not denouncing them.
And, well, you might think that, and maybe there's some merit to think that you should be taking one side or the other.
Yeah.
But you don't shame people and name them as if they're someone who has really caused harm to the trans community.
No.
Or to any community. You've got to, like, have some background on these people. You've got to have a profile of the person before you go and do that.
They knew nothing about it.
Yeah, basically. So that was disappointing.
And there needs to be those people who are peacekeepers.
Well, like, that's, that was the thing. And it's unfortunate that the International Women's Day organisers did decide to include people who would exclude members of the community,
as
women.
Speakers. There were speakers who...
Performer. I think it was a performer. But at the same time, there was also... They were trying to include people who had been in the march in 1978 or whenever.
Yeah.
As well. And I don't know about their politics, but there's sort of like... There's the history as well, and we've got to change people, and we've got to do that. We've got to work together, people. We've got to find some, like...
Just common ground.
Fine.
Because, you know, way. It seems like everyone's fighting at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah. Let's listen to some music. That'll lighten...
Oh, by the way, Nathan's in the studio as well tonight.
Nathan, how's it going?
Hey, Nathan. All right, how are you going?
Good.
Awesome. We're all in the studio tonight. We're going to play a song now, Linda.
So we've got Marked as Suspicious.
Yeah, that's me.
In the studio.
Yes. Max.
Max and...
Pingerton,
yeah.
Me, Cyclone.
Cyclone Linda.
In the house.
Who didn't really eventuate.
Yeah, but there's still time.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, just wait. We're going to hear a song now that Nick won. sent to me. It's called, and it's by Big Shaq, and it's called Man's Not Hot. I'm surprised Mark hasn't heard of this song.
I've heard it's hilarious.
Yeah, so we're going to listen to it now.
Yo! Big Shaq, the one and only. Man's not hot. Never hot. Scrap! Skitty cat cat! Boom! 2 + 2 = 4. -1 = 3. Quick maths. Everyday man's on the block. Smoke trees. See your girl in the park. That girl was a uckers. When the ting went quack, 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 you man was ducking. Hold tight, ask me, my brother. He's got a pumpy, big ting. Hold tight, my man, my guy. He's got a frisbee. A trap, trap, trap on the phone. Moving that cornflakes. Rice Krispies. Hold tight, my girl whip me. On the road doing 10 toes. Like my toes, like my toes. You man thought I froze. I see a pen girl on a post. Chilling. If she ain't on it, I post. Look at your nose.
Check your nose, man.
You donut. Nose long like garden hose. I tell a man's not hot. I tell a man's not hot. The girl told me, take off your jacket. I said, babe, man's not hot.
Never hot.
I tell a man's not hot.
Never hot.
I tell a man's not hot.
Never hot.
The girl told me, take off your jacket. I said, babe, man's not hot.
Never hot.
Hop out the four door with the 4-4. It was 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Us, man.
Chilling in the corridor.
Yo.
Your dad is 44. And he's still calling man for a draw.
Look at him. Look at him.
Let him know. When I see him, I'm gonna spin his jaw.
Finish.
Take man's twix by force.
Take it.
Send man's shot by force.
Send him.
Your girl knows I've got the sauce.
Flexing.
No ketchup.
None.
Just sauce.
Saucy.
Raw sauce. Yo. Boom.
Ah.
The ting goes. Man's not hot,
man's not.
I tell a man's not hot,
never hot.
The girl told me, take off your jacket. I said, babe, man's not hot,
never hot.
I tell a man's not hot. I tell a man's not hot,
never hot.
The girl told me, take off your jacket. I said, babe, man's not hot. Man can never be hot,
never hot.
Perspiration ting,
spray that.
Lynx effects,
come on.
You didn't hear me, did you?
Nah.
Use roll on,
use that.
Or spray.
Shh.
But either way, A, B, C, D.
Alphabet ting.
The ting goes. Big shot, man's not hot. I tell a man's not hot,
never hot.
40 degrees and man's not hot,
come on,
yo. In the sauna, man's not hot,
never hot.
Yeah. Skiddy cap.
So that was Big Shaq and Man's Not Hot. And now going on from our International Women's Day discussion, talking about International Women's Day, when it's called Man's Not Hot, I thought that means that men aren't hot. Hot, like they're not hot.
Except for Claudio Locatelli.
Except for hot men.
Yeah, exactly.
But like men's not hot as in men... Aren't
cool, like
the best, like ever, like it, like not saying that men aren't good, but just saying that men aren't like totally shit hot.
I think it's like English slang for saying someone.
Well, actually, I watched the video clip then, and he's wearing a jacket the whole time. And he doesn't take it off.
Because
he's not hot.
He must have been cold.
So, yeah.
I know through a lot of summer I was hot.
But in winter it's cold and then you're cold.
Yeah. Then yes. Man is cold.
Now we've been through that. I forgot actually what we were going to talk about next.
Well, this is a interesting turn of events.
Yeah. So that must mean
What about the thing that...
The alignment?
Yeah.
Afrin.
Afrin, yeah. Afrin. We're going to talk about that.
Okay. We'll talk about Afrin. So, Max, can you give us
Lowdown.
Afrin.
I can try.
Yeah, just quickly.
So, from what I know, Turkey is invading because they don't like what's going on with the freedom and women's liberation and democracy that's going on in Rojava.
Yeah, like Turkey hates Kurdish people, and Turkey really is very oppressive towards people, Kurdish people in Turkey. And so they've moved from doing that just in... They see the revolution in Rojava as a threat, basically, to Turkey, because the Ottoman Empire was broken off, and so, as I've said before, Kurdistan is in Syria, Turkey, Iran, and Iraq, and so Turkey must see that if there's these strong Kurdish community in Syria, then that's a threat to Turkey. And people from Turkey have been going across into Syria and helping as well. So,
and they are blocking the borders. So what they're trying to justify it with is saying that the YPG and other Kurdish groups, such as the PKK, Kurdish Workers Party, that they are terrorists and that it's just a security measure, but really it's not just that, it's an invasion of a democratic country.
And the PKK is considered a terrorist organization in many countries, including Australia. So, and the leader is in jail for 19 years, but they're going to talk about... we're not going to read that bit out, but yeah, the leader has been in jail for 19 years. And he has sort of changed, like, before he was kind of like a Marxist or leading that sort of way.
Yeah.
But now he's... And what's happening in Rojava is leaning towards more Bakunin or Kropotkin, and... And
well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Anarchism, yeah. So that's good. So here we go. In light of International Women's Day, we're going to... I'm going to read this out from a Kurdish women's statement that they made for International Women's Day. In the quest to reorganize itself as a way out of the crisis, capitalist modernity first attempted to apply this new order in the Middle East under the name of Great Middle East Project. We name the process that started with the interventions in Afghanistan and Iraq, continued with the Arab Spring in North Africa, and intensified in the last years in Syria, Iraq and Kurdistan, Third World War. Whilst the nation-state regimes in the Middle East, which were created by Western states 100 years ago to permanently reproduce chaos and crisis, try to protect the status quo, the foreign powers attempt to divide the region among themselves anew. Our labelling of the current period of the Middle East as Third World War is not only an attempt to emphasise the involvement of international powers. More than that, it is clear that capitalist modernity... rebuilding of itself in the Middle East will have consequences on a global scale. Indeed, contemporary world system or capitalist modernity is not a phenomenon of the last 500 years, as, in fact, its seed took root in the form of the first state 5,000 years ago in Mesopotamia and has ever since undergone different transformations to sustain itself until today. For this reason, defending the democratic confederal solution as the third way against the regional state status, coism, and foreign powers, redesigned interventionism constitutes a fundamental responsibility to all of us, and it exceeds the borders of Syria and the Middle East. The system of democratic autonomy that is currently being built with the leadership of women in Rojava, northern Syria, in the conditions of war and resistance, is the sole solution model that has the potential to end the crises chaos, contradictions and conflicts that have been systematically reproducing themselves in the region for the last century. Not only did the nation-states that were created together with artificially drawn borders after World War I not reflect the region's ethnic, cultural, religious and societal makeup, they also aimed at blasting our millennia-old culture of common life. Today in northern Syria, for the first time, a system is being constructed which is based on women's equal and free participation, ethnic and religious pluralism, and participatory democracy. As a democratic alternative, this model poses a solution to the obsolete issues of the Middle East against the masculine, sexist, monistic, nationalist, sectarian regimes which have been fueled by the global system for decades. Actually, there's not long, I'll keep reading. This is the reason why the Turkish state, which has the second largest army in NATO, launched an operation against Rojava's Afrin Canton on January 20, 2018, with all its force. This is also the reason why foreign powers such as the USA, Russia, and the EU are not obstructing the military attacks on Afrin, because in Afrin, a democratic society model with the core of women's liberation is being constructed. The resistance of Afrin is women's uprising against capitalist modernist life. The city and surrounding villages in Afrin resist fascism, misogyny, the uproot of nature and cultural values, and animosity between peoples. It is clear that it is not only the Turkish state and their recruited Islamist gang allies clashing with the women's and people's defense units in Afrin. In essence, in a tiny piece of geography like Afrin, two world systems, two ideologies, two future projects are clashing on a colossal level. Whilst on one side is based on women's liberation, ecology and pluralism, the other is made of misogyny, male power, monism, domination and exploitation. One shines with all the colours of life, while the other represents darkness. Therefore, it is vitally important and meaningful for women of the world to claim and defend the rising resistance against fascism in Afrin, because what is under attack there and what is being defended there are universal values of women's freedom. On this occasion, as the Kurdish Women's Freedom Movement, the KJK, we salute and congratulate the freedom fighters who shoulder the leadership of the Afrin resistance, as well as the people in Afrin who heroically defend their lands against the invaders. Women and unity will win. Fascism will lose.
What a great piece. Where did that come from?
From the Kurdish Women's Federal Freedom Movement. And
is it theregion.org?
Yes, that's right. It's from theregion.org.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it just makes me think about what happened at the Women's Day in Brisbane and how that would play out over there. And perhaps then people would see there's a greater threat than trans people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a major threat happening there, and they're fighting against ISIS, Turkey, whoever. So, yeah, maybe.
But they're going to cost the military lots of money.
Who's going to cost the military lots of money?
The trans people.
Oh.
That's Donald Trump, everybody.
Oh, yeah, Donald Trump, that's right, yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
That was really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, see,
billions and billions, billions and billions.
Okay. And, you know.
Billions.
we can't all see the face you're making, too.
Oh, yeah, that was a Donald Trump face for sure.
Yeah. It is time we're going to do Bad Cop No Donut after this great song which a friend from Canada sent to me. It's called Dalai Police and it's by Jeff Berner. Basically, it means fuck the police in Yiddish.
Oh, cool.
This is awesome.
Oy vey.
Thank you. I played a lot of places and I'll play them all again. And everywhere I go, I hear the same old thing again. Somebody dies in police custody. Soon there are questions from the family. At first the situation makes the lawmen look so filthy, but they investigate themselves and it turns out that they're not guilty. Hey, hey, the law police say it means the same thing now as yesterday. Out of your houses, into the streets, everybody say, fuck the police. Let's go. Bush's family didn't know he was a killer when Constable Kessler picked him up for an open can of Miller. The video at the station house, it somehow got erased, but the bull was there so we can know exactly what took place. The boy jumped on his back, but the cop was quick instead. He reached around and shot him right in the back of the head. Constable Kessler would not demonstrate just how this thing was done. If you think that it's impossible, then the coroner's not alone. Well, hey, hey, the law police say it means the same thing now as yesterday. Out of your houses, into the streets, everybody say, fuck the police.
Didi!
There must be something magic down in the holding cells, cause there's stuff that happens there that just don't happen nowhere else. Healthy people dying from a sudden heart attack, men who hang themselves with their hands tied behind their back. There's lots of good and brave police, it must be true, I guess. It's brave to work with a murderer sipping coffee by your desk. Well, hey, hey, saloi police, it means the same thing now as yes.
It's that time of the week for Bad Cop No Donut, where we tell stories of what police have done wrong. What do you have for us tonight, Linda?
I've got a funny story.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because last week I got a call. I was getting some calls from a private number really early in the morning when I was asleep.
Uh-oh.
And then I got a message, and it was someone from probably the public safety response team or something.
Yeah.
Some police officer. Hello, constable, I said. No, I didn't, because I didn't answer the phone.
Mm.
So they left a message and they wanted to talk to me about something, I think Queen's Relay or Relay?
Relay?
Yeah. And I was really flattered that they thought that I could be in that relay.
In a relay, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they obviously know that I've been going to the gym.
Uh-huh.
And getting fit.
They're like, we'll get her.
Yeah, and they want me to
be
in the relay.
Fast,
yeah. And I think it's a baton relay.
Uh-huh.
Boom.
Okay.
Because they hit people
they
with
use
their baton
batons.
Relay.
Boom. See, I say baton.
Baton. Yeah.
So are you going to do it?
Or something.
No, I think I missed it. I think it was last weekend.
Oh, you
were there
in
spirit.
Relay.
That was a shame.
Oh.
You would have won. Oh. You know that. So no need to even participate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one time I didn't run fast enough in the baton relay and I got I got beaten. I got battened in the back.
You got batoned.
I got batoned, yeah.
In the back.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Ouch.
I have to train a bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. So Nathan, what have you got?
Did it hurt?
Yeah, it fucking hurt, yeah.
No. So what's your police story? So there was something about a coffee shop.
Yeah, there was saying the guy got the blame, is that right, by the coffee shop?
Well, what's happening is there's a coffee shop in America, right?
Yeah.
And what are they doing?
They're selling donuts.
Well, they probably are, but they're refusing to serve police officers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a rule of keeping law enforcement out for safety reasons. They said on their Instagram, "We have a policy of asking police to leave for the physical and emotional safety of our customers and ourselves." And then it goes on to say that law and order routinely criminalizes and terrorizes black and brown folks, especially youth, trans and houseless folks. For these reasons and so many more, we need the support of the actual community to keep this place safe, not the police. So that's a very interesting one. A coffee shop in California taking matters into its own hands.
There was this one time that a police officer went into a shop and asked to use the toilet, and the person said, like, "We only let customers use the toilet."
Yeah.
Yeah. And wouldn't let the police officer use the toilet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Represent.
That reminds me of a guy walks into a bar and he goes, "What's the Wi-Fi password?" And he says, "You have to buy something first." The bartender says, "You have to buy something first." And then he says, "Okay, I'll have a Coke. Is Pepsi all right?" "Yeah, sure. That'll be $3. Buys a Pepsi and then asks, "What's the Wi-Fi password?" "Oh, no, it's you have to be a customer first." Get it? Because it's like...
I had a feeling it was going in that direction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the response to that joke?
That is, yeah.
So I've got these stories up on subversion1312.tk, subversion1312.tk. In 2016, Operation Aptly revealed a group of police were using drugs regularly in their social lives, including one who used cocaine most days for 4 months last year. This was a few years ago. They were also caught trafficking drugs because they have easy access to them, obviously. Victoria police caught using and trafficking meth and ecstasy.
Oh.
And two officers joked over text that they were going to work after a cocaine bender. So the Anti-Corruption Commission found that there's systematic deficiencies in Victoria's police's illicit drug prevention and detection. So do you see what's wrong with that? The people who are meant to be preventing drug use in the community can't police their own community.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a different way.
Yeah, there's so much wrong with that.
A Baltimore police officer has testified at an anti-corruption hearing that officers were instructed to carry fake guns so they could plant them on a body if they were to shoot someone. It's unknown if this tactic was ever used, but when an officer was arrested last year, a replica gun was found in his possession.
But and it wasn't real?
A replica gun was found in his possession. That means it's not real.
There's a replica gun that fires.
The BB testimony is particularly disturbing in the light of 12-year-old Tamir Rice's death in 2014, where they say they thought he had a gun or he had a toy gun, and the 13-year-old in Baltimore who was shot twice by cops in 2016 after he allegedly sprinted away from them with a replica gun in his hand. And the 86 people fatally shot by police in 2015 and 16 who were spotted carrying toy guns. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police supervisor who appeared to simulate fellatio on an eggplant while at work and who allegedly texted questionable comments about black policemen and Black Lives Matter movement is being investigated for his conduct. CBC News has confirmed that the RCMP has launched a code of conduct investigation into Dave Duplessis, which was triggered when a probationary constable under his supervision was fired. Jesse Anderson says he complained to the RCMP about his difficulties with Duplessis and sent them a screen grab of the eggplant incident and screen grabs of text conversations while the RCMP was considering his dismissal. He later shared the images with CBC News. And
I have a lot of questions.
You can see the picture at subversion1312.dk and you probably can't unsee the picture.
Yeah,
once
if you're
you see
into
the picture.
That, you want to.
I want to know what happened to the eggplant. What did he make with it?
Love.
Oh.
2 years after they said they didn't, Toronto police admit they use Stingray cell phone snooping devices. Documents that took more than 2 years to obtain show that Toronto police used the IMSI catcher, known as a Stingray, in investigations ranging from a major drug and gun case to a bank robbery. The IMSI catchers capture identifying data from all mobile devices being used in a given location, including in the context of a police investigation, the data of innocent citizens in the vicinity of the target. In December 2015, a Toronto police spokesperson told the Star, "We do not use the Stingray technology and we do not have one of the units." An international mobile subscriber identity catcher, also known as a mobile device identifier, is a controversial tool because of its indiscriminate in whose mobile device is affected. The technology essentially mimics a cell phone tower, tricking all phones within a particular range to go through it. So that's Bad Cop No Donut for this week.
Thank you, Linda and Nathan.
Thanks.
And we're going to hear another song now. This is by Rob Hustle. We've played this song before. It's called Call the Cops. This one is called Good Cops. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1.
Hopefully it's just a couple of minutes of silence.
FM. Well, it's better than that, yeah.
Let's talk about good cops. So where they at? Where they at? The triumph of evil is just a failure to act by all these good cops. So where they at? Where they at? If you're dirty and you need someone to cover your back, you need a good cop. So where they at? Where they at? You'll never see them snitch on someone wearing a badge, cause they the good cops. So listen up, listen up. If you ain't locking up the bad cops, you ain't good enough. Yeah, where all them good cops at? People keep telling me bad apples make good cops look bad. But if 99% of cops are as good as they say, they should be able to lock a couple bad apples away. And yet they don't. Not because they can't, but because they won't. Cause their highest duty's protecting and serving their own. The first rule of policing means when in doubt, they'll shoot. And if they make a mistake, all the cops will hide the truth. Even if they want to report a cop, they know that they can't. You're as good as dead on the force if you get labeled a rat. Plus the union rep will protect you from ever losing their job. And you wonder why there's criminals enforcing the law. Just ask. Good cops, so where they at, where they at? The triumph of evil is just a failure to act by all these good cops. So where they at, where they at? If you're dirty and you need someone to cover your back, you need a good cop. So where they at, where they at? You'll never see them snitch on someone wearing a badge, cause they the good cops. So listen up, listen up. If you ain't locking up the bad cops, you ain't good enough. Police are trained a lot to make an arrest, but they're not required to help you when you make a request. They got no affirmative duty to either serve or protect, and they're immune from prosecution if they choose to neglect. Look at the precedent set by Taliaferro, Douglas, and Warren. No one protected Jessica Gonzalez's daughter, and when she went to court to hold someone accountable for it, SCOTUS told us that it was legal for the cops to ignore. That's because her cop is an enforcer, and his job's to collect, stealing money, kicking asses, and cashing forfeiture checks, writing ridiculous tickets to wage a war on drugs. Our city budgets are funded by waging war on us. Thanks to the good cops. So where they at? Where they at? The triumph of evil is just a failure to act by all these good cops. So where they at? Where they at? If
You're dirty and you need someone to cover your back. You need a
good cop. So where they at? Where they at?
You'll never see them snitch or someone wearing a badge, cause they the
good cop. So listen up, listen up.
If you ain't locking up the bad cops, you ain't good enough. Sometimes a cop will say it's not my fault. I'm just doing my job, I'm not the guy who writes the law. I was following orders, honoring the old I swore. And I'm like Nuremberg, war trial, principle four. And some people seem to believe that if they don't do crime, that the cops will leave them alone and that they'll be just fine. Go ahead and tread on the Constitution, we don't mind. I can't believe that these people can even be so blind. See, what they don't understand is that the problem at hand is systemic. It goes beyond a single woman or man. When good people let evil people keep on laying the plan, the banality of evil lies in obeying command.
So where they at? Where they at?
The triumph of evil is just a failure to act by all these
good cops. So where they at? Where they at?
If you're dirty and you need someone to cover your back, you need a
good cop. So where they at? Where they at?
You'll never see them snitch on someone wearing a badge, cause they the
good cop. So listen up, listen up.
If you ain't locking up the bad cops, you ain't good enough.
Good cop. So where they at? Where they at?
The triumph of evil is just a failure to act by all these
good cops. So where they at? Where they at?
If you're dirty and you need someone to cover your back, you need a
good cop. So where they at? Where they at?
You'll never see them snitch on someone wearing a badge, cause they the
good cop. So listen up, listen up.
If you ain't locking up the bad cops, you ain't good enough.
Radical Underground is a podcast that connects underground music with radical politics from around the world. So if you like anarchy and good music about kicking fascists in the face, check us out on Channel Zero, SoundCloud, iTunes, and anywhere else you can find us.
Sick of your right-wing bullshit, it's a fucking disgrace. So let the vegan betraying, kicking you in the face.
That was good.
And we're coming towards the final moments of Subversion 1312. But we have
forever.
We have some Queen Antifa news. We won't get to play the fucking news by the stimulator, but you can go to submedia.tv to hear that. A judge has described far-right activist Neil Erickson as childish for attending court wearing a high-visibility vest from his former employer, Toll. So basically, Neil Erickson and some other of Reclaim Australia, or whatever they are, they were trolling former Senator Sam Dastyari, who was in a pub in Melbourne. And he was wearing a Toll shirt at the time because he used to work for them. And so then he's in court because he's not meant to wear that shirt. And then he bought a Toll shirt at an op shop, apparently, and decided to wear it to court. He claimed that it was $2. That's a bit of a bargain. It's a good shirt. $2. He found a bargain.
Can't
there.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
I'll have four.
Yeah. So the judge said, "Do you think it's a good idea to wear that? Do you find it amusing? I just want to show how pathetic Toll is." The judge said, "You can keep wearing it, but you just enjoy the media attention." The exchange took place. It was to find out what punishment he would receive. So he was also representing himself. And he also, twice the judge, Judge Jones, told Erickson, "Listen to me." So... yeah, he probably wasn't representing himself very well in court. So, yeah, and there's a number of videos he was meant to take down, but he hasn't done that. So, and the final punchline is that he also said he had no job, no money, no assets, and might have to be jailed if he was punished. It's questionable about whether jail is a good way to rehabilitate people, offenders, or whatever, but maybe it'd be a good place for him. So the matter was adjourned till a later date. And that's it.
I've got a new catchphrase.
What is it?
Bury fascists alive.
Hey.
Is that all right?
Do you like that, Linda?
Linda.
Yeah.
Is it acceptable? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Like, there's all sorts of things. Slightly hyperbolic, I mean.
Yeah, flippantly.
Yeah. I'm not going to bury a fascist alive.
I'm not. I don't have the tools. No. Or the
expertise.
I definitely have the, what's the word, when you want to do it.
How many fascists should we bury alive?
Billions and 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 billions
and billions and
billions. And that's it.
Wow. Wow, what a good night.
We'll be back.
Well done.
Next week. So we're going to go out, as always,
with a bang.
Chumbawamba. Give the anarchist a cigarette.
Check out Subversion 1312 online, autonomousactionradio.com, facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Anarchy_show on Twitter. And on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
conclusion?
There is a certain social process which is known and very visible, but perhaps not acknowledged as much as it should be. It is that one where a new idea, or an old one in new form,